This is Jordan Seculo. Today on Jay Seculo Live, President Trump releases guidelines on opening America again.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Seculo Live.
We took the greatest economy in the history of the world and we closed it in order to win this war. And we're in the process of winning it now.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Our approach outlines three phases in restoring our economic life. We are not opening all at once, but one careful step at a time. And some states will be able to open up sooner than others. Some states are not in the kind of trouble that others are in.
And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
So that was the big news yesterday, is the guidelines have now been released by the White House. It's called Opening Up America Again, and it's proposed state or regional, they call it gating criteria. And again, it's different, three different levels. So you've got a proposed phased approach based on up-to-date data, the mitigation, protecting the most vulnerable, and of course, this will be implemented by your governors or even at a county-by-county basis, so at the governor's discretion. So you're talking about, again, folks, something that is happening at the very most local level. And I think that this is important. So you've got guidelines for individuals on here, for employers. So for phase one, that's for states and regions that satisfy that initial criteria of being able to open. It still encourages telework. It still encourages to work in place and to close common areas and to minimize non-essential travel. But again, you've also got phase two, which is for states and regions with no evidence of a rebound and that satisfy the criteria. And then you've got phase three, which is for states and regions with no evidence of a rebound and that satisfying the criteria a third time. So it's a 1-2-3 phase. And I think, Than, this is very important for the American people to know that regardless of what state you're in, the U.S. government and now your governors and local officials are making the plans now or already have started to reopen in a safe way your community. Now, that may be later for one state or a county within that state and earlier for another. But I think that gives hope to a lot of Americans, not just to get outside of the house, but to return back to work.
Jordan, I really do think it was important for the president to give the American people a roadmap to what a return to at least somewhat normal looks like. I thought he did that. A couple of points. You know, one, we've encouraged from the very beginning of this process for an approach that was rooted in federalism, both as you're going up the curve and coming back down the curve. The president took some criticism on the front side of that. Jordan, he has been consistent. And now this plan for reopening is again rooted in federalism. And I would just tell you, I think the closer those ultimate detailed decisions are made to the people, the more buy-in there will be. So I see a lot of wisdom in that. Jordan, the other thing, we've also said there you've got to look at the first order harm, the health and the people who are unfortunately getting sick and dying. You've also got to look at the second order harm and making sure that the economic impact does not become greater than the problem in the first place. I think this is definitely balanced. It's phased in, Jordan. It's slow. It's not immediate. It's not a light switch tomorrow, and it shouldn't be. But here's the thing. It's a transparent runway. It's a roadmap, and it's something the American people can look at and say, if my locality, if my state can meet these gating measures, then we're going to be able to open. It's up to us to meet those, and then our governor, our mayor, our local officials will be able to open us up. Jordan, I think yesterday was a very important moment for optimism for the American people and for giving us a look at how we will get America fully back open.
At ACLJ.org, we've got a new blog up about our work filing an amicus brief with the Supreme Court in a pro-life free speech case, battling, of course, abortion distortion. We'll continue to take your phone calls as well. A lot of cases and a lot of updates on cases at ACLJ.org. So use that resource. Use social media. And I encourage you, it's a matching challenge month of April. Donate online at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. And remember, you're doubling the impact of your donation. And that donation goes to, in part, keeping this broadcast on the air every day of the week.
It's a critical time for our nation and our world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important. And during this time of uncertainty, there's no better way to support the ACLJ than through online giving. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We truly appreciate your financial support. Without it, it would be impossible to do our work here and around the globe. And the best way to support our work is to make your financial gifts online at aclj.org.
Online giving, simple and secure. And by making an online gift, your support goes to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to defend human life, to stand up for our good friend Israel, to work to uncover the corrupt deep state in Washington, and so much more. Make a difference today. Support the work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. Every dollar makes a difference. Give today online at aclj.org. For 30 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has been dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of you, we've seen great success in the courts and Congress concerning the issues that matter most to you and your families. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
Our decades-long commitment to the Constitution and the rule of law is at the center of everything we do. The bottom line, our work could not take place without your generous support.
Now more than ever, during this time of uncertainty, the ACLJ needs your support. Consider making a gift online at aclj.org. Donating online is safe and secure, and an online gift at aclj.org can be put to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to continue the battle against abortion giant Planned Parenthood, to protect Christians facing persecution, and so much more. Every dollar makes a difference. Stand with the ACLJ today. Support our work online at aclj.org.
All right, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. So big news is that the U.S. government and President Trump announcing a plan, and the plan is available online through the whitehouse.gov website, and I've got the plan in front of me now. And what's important about this plan is that it provides a roadmap to reopening America. And this is so important to folks right now, because this is how this is the roadmap to reopening places of business. It's the roadmap to reopening, again, all of kind of our different aspects of life. But it is phased. This is not like it's all going to happen on May 1st the same way in every state. Each state's governor, as the president said, will have to consult with the mayors in that state and decide if there's certain areas of that state or the entire state is ready to start this reopening and which phase it should begin in. And it will kind of go from there based on those states that have the least amount of cases, that aren't expected to have a surge in cases, or states that have already peaked and have had a significant drop in cases. But this is going to be – it's not a one-size-fits-all plan, and of course it was never going to be. And we still have to implement a lot of our social distancing throughout all of this opening. So even for, you know, whether it was a restaurant that was finally able to open, there's going to have to be social distancing used at those. And that's, again, we've also heard, Than, a lot of governors have already said school, going back to school is just not an option for this year. I mean, it's almost over anyways. For most schools, that would be early June, usually at the latest. So a lot of governors already saying kids aren't returning to school. Not all governors have said that, but a lot of them.
Dan? We're not on that decision. I mean, I think it's also important to make those decisions at a local level, like the president has indicated, because if you think about a place like Manhattan, I mean, I think it's pretty clear that they're not going to be able to resume school. You think about a place maybe in rural Montana where there are miles and miles between residences. Maybe they don't have a case in counties around. There are areas of the country that are like that, Jordan. You know, I know where I grew up in Illinois, there's only been one death in the county. Those kind of decisions, I'm not saying there's no risk in those counties, but there was always going to be need to be a different approach in different jurisdictions. The other thing I really like about this, Jordan, is it incentivizes neighborhoods and communities to work together. They say, if we can behave responsibly and follow these guidelines carefully, we are going to get back to normal quicker than if we don't. So, Jordan, again, it's back to that buy-in. By moving those decisions closer to the people like the president is doing, I think it increases buy-in and it speeds this runway back to a new normal.
Let me go to Karen in Kansas on line two. Karen, welcome to JSecio Live. You're on the air.
Thank you very much. I just received the $2,400 stimulus money to my checking account. However, my husband died last June. Was this a mistake in sending my sweetie's money? And if so, what do I do about it? And how soon will the government want his portion back?
Well, this is interesting because, Stan, a lot of this was based off when you last filed your taxes. So if you last filed, Karen, before your husband passed away, so if your last tax filing, was the last tax filing you did a joint filing with your husband?
Well, part of this year, yes, last year, 2019, or 2018, we filed together. 2019 for this, this year's taxes. Yes, he was here for 6 months, and so we filed as joint the first six months.
So that's the issue right there, Than, is that she filed jointly, and that's the guidelines they were basing it on. I would encourage you to talk to, not just call up the IRS, talk to a local attorney before you start calling the IRS, and let them kind of work through whether or not, again, it wasn't so much a mistake because, Than, this is how the government was basing this on taxes. And, of course, there are things that happen. Unfortunately, Karen's husband passing away, they wouldn't necessarily know about that quickly if it was involved in the 2019 tax return. So I would encourage her to get advice on that directly from a local attorney, Karen, before calling the IRS directly and letting them kind of work through it with them. And they'll kind of let you – they'll be your kind of representative, if you will, in dealing with the IRS and in your unique situation. And it might be that a lot of people are in kind of similar situations. Than, your thoughts?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that advice, Jordan. I can say pretty conclusively this was not a mistake because it was based on the last filing. She did get the proper amount. Jordan, I would tell you, in my read through the regulations, I have not seen any clawback provisions for something like that. Just very simply what that means, I do not think the government is going to come back and correct that. I think she's going to get to keep it. But again, Jordan, there are lots of regulations. So your advice about having someone look specifically at her situation is a good one. But I would say pretty conclusively, it was not a mistake on the front end. They filed that stimulus, or they granted that stimulus based on the most recent tax filing.
Yeah. One more call right now. Robert in Maryland on line six. Robert, welcome to JSecio Live.
Yeah, hi. And to ask you, I'm a president of work 3 days a week, was working about 30 hours.
Robert, you're cutting out. Let me ask you, you say you're working 3 days a week, you filed taxes last year, you haven't gotten your stimulus. Are you eligible, Than? If you're working 3 days a week and you filed taxes last year, you're absolutely eligible. You should be getting that stimulus check either by direct deposit, if that's how you got your tax return, or in the mail, potentially. And if it needs to be in the mail, Than, does Robert need to do anything?
He does not. In fact, if he filed taxes last year, and as long as he didn't exceed the income thresholds, which it sounds like he probably did not, he will definitely receive it. If the IRS has his direct deposit, he'll get it that way. If they don't have his direct deposit, he'll get it via check, if that's the way that they were sending him refunds in the past. Jordan, he does not have to do anything. However, if he does want to go to IRS.gov, they do have a tool there that lets you look up your status. I will warn you, at this point, they're still in the process of that initial batch. So it might not yield that much productive results right now. But in another week or two, if Robert hasn't seen his check, then I might encourage him to check out that tool.
All right. So there you go, Robert. I got to play this sound. This is Governor Andrew Cuomo, who throughout this process, I thought had done a pretty good job. He's being very fair about the president and how the federal role in this. And it wasn't so much – this is not why we're playing this. It wasn't a criticism of the president. And he didn't suddenly turn on the president. It was just one of those statements that really, again, made me very nervous for New York and just questioned the governor when you kind of make these statements when your state is dealing with so much death right now and so many people dying, so many new cases still, even if they have reached the peak. Take a listen to Governor Cuomo.
It is directly a result of what you do today. The number is down because we brought the number down. God did not do that. Fate did not do that. Destiny did not do that. A lot of pain and suffering did that.
Yeah, here's the thing. If Governor Cuomo was an avowed atheist or agnostic person, okay, you know, again, he might be making, that would be making kind of a broad, pretty hardcore statement, right? Well, as someone who, again, he represents himself as a devout Catholic, I'm not going to question his personal faith. I can question some of his politics on issues like abortion, but I'm not going to question his faith. He should know better than this because, again, Than, I want to go directly to you. It's a shocking statement because it's such a mischaracterization of the Christian, the basic tenets of Christian faith and theology, because that we do as humans, God created us with minds, with the ability to make decisions, to use logic. And so to say that God had nothing to do with it, God had everything to do with it, because that's why we're here able to make those decisions he's talking about.
It's really tragic that he made these comments, Jordan, because so many people have had their foundation shaken during this time. And for so many of us, it is actually our faith in God and our faith in Jesus Christ that has actually given us something to stand on during this. And you're so correct, Jordan. I mean, God didn't just set this world in motion and then watch it spin. He actually gave us a role to play in it, and he invested in us skills and knowledge and curiosity and intellect to find solutions to problems. So, you know, he says that God did not do that. God did not bring it down because people did that. Well, yeah, but God was the one that instilled in us the ability to work together and the ability to be creative to come up with solutions. So I just would encourage the governor now more than any other time, he needs to be encouraging people's faith in a foundation that is not shaken during this time. I think a statement like that, Jordan, I actually think it does quite a bit of harm, and he ought to think walking it back pretty aggressively.
Yeah, I think you should walk it back too and say it was just misunderstood. Let me just encourage you folks. Coming up, another guest, we've had him on before, Jared Moskowitz, a friend of mine. He's the director of the Florida Division of Emergency Management. He's going to give us, again, one of those direct updates at the state level on what it's been like dealing with it now in Florida. Do they have the supplies they need? Do they have the hospitals that they need? How are they dealing with their numbers in Florida? And again, because it's a very diverse state, and geographically you've got, you know, parts of the state where it's cooler, parts of the state where it's almost always tropical and 80 degrees or hotter. So we're going to talk to Jared Moskowitz, director of the Florida Division of Emergency Management, on how they're dealing with COVID-19. We come back on JSecio Live. Remember, double the impact of your donation. Keep the broadcast on the air. ACLJ.org. Donate today. Matching challenge, ACLJ.org.
For 30 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has been dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of you, we've seen great success in the courts and Congress concerning the issues that matter most to you and your families. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
Our decades-long commitment to the Constitution and the rule of law is at the center of everything we do. The bottom line, our work could not take place without your generous support.
Now more than ever, during this time of uncertainty, the ACLJ needs your support. Consider making a gift online at aclj.org. Donating online is safe and secure, and an online gift at aclj.org can be put to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to continue the battle against abortion giant Planned Parenthood, to protect Christians facing persecution, and so much more. Every dollar makes a difference. Stand with the ACLJ today. Support our work online at aclj.org. It's a critical time for our nation and our world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important. And during this time of uncertainty, there's no better way to support the ACLJ than through online giving. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We truly appreciate your financial support. Without it, it would be impossible to do our work here and around the globe. And the best way to support our work is to make your financial gifts online at aclj.org.
org. Online giving, simple and secure. And by making an online gift, your support goes to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to defend human life, to stand up for our good friend Israel, to work to uncover the corrupt deep state in Washington, and so much more. Make a difference today. Support the work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. Every dollar makes a difference. Give today online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. Thanks for joining us again. We have a special guest joining us right now. I want to make sure, Will, is that guest available? Is Jared available for us? I'm not getting that in the chat from you. Is he available? All right. Jared Moskowitz, Director of the Florida Division of Emergency Management. We had Jared on a few weeks ago because they were having significant issues. He was speaking out about this directly, calling out 3M directly on the N95 mask situation. It got to the level where the President of the United States, President Trump, was also going after 3M. That has been kind of figured out since then, but I'd say a lot of credit goes to Jared, because from doing our radio broadcast and a lot of broadcast in Florida, he was ended up doing a lot of national broadcast, television broadcast, as well like our national radio broadcast, and speaking out on this. And I wanted to bring him back on as we're starting to hear now these opening plans and kind of get an update on where Florida is specifically in this situation. So, Jared, it's great to have you on, buddy.
Hey, Jordan. Thanks for having me back. Appreciate it.
So tell us the difference between when you were on a few weeks ago and right now. Like, is Florida dealing with a lot more cases, a lot more death? And then we'll get to some of the issues about the supplies.
Sure. So, Florida is a much better position every single solitary day. And we're clearly in a much better position than we were when we last spoke, considering at that time many states were struggling with PPE, which, is, as we know, is life-saving stuff. It helps stop the spread. Right now, Florida has flattened the curve. We have plateaued, if you will, and so we're pretty flat. Today was the first day since April 9th that we saw a decrease in our ICUs around the state. So that's good news. Obviously, there are still families all around the state that are still struggling with COVID-19, even as cases go down, even though as we get less people needing ventilators or ICU beds, there are still family members that are dealing with COVID-19. The saddest part about the whole thing, other than obviously that it's taking people's lives, is that you can't be with your loved one in the hospital when they're suffering from COVID-19. And that emotional disconnect from what is happening is so lost, I think, in what is taking place. But thankfully, we are turning the corner here in Florida. We're not turning the page on the victims of COVID-19, though. We're continuing to make sure that we're giving them the resources, their families, the resources that they need.
So what was the response like to your kind of media blitz that you did? When you were on our broadcast, I know it made its way all the way to the President of the United States condemning and questioning what was going on with 3M. All of that, I mean, what was that experience like, and how quickly did you see a change when you needed to get things like the PPEs and the N95 mask?
Well, we were literally sitting in the EOC, negotiating with vendors that we had never done business with before, because never before had the Department of Emergency Management basically needed to become a medical supplier to public hospitals, private nursing homes, all of the police departments, all of the fire departments with medical supplies. And so we started to see a significant trend. I basically had a boiler room in the EOC, something out of like the Wolf of Wall Street, where all day we're working the phones, 10, 12 hour days, just working the phones, negotiating these deals. We're showing up to warehouses. There's no product. Product just disappears before our eyes. People want us to wire money to accounts that, were formed the same day. And And we knew our experience couldn't just be only happening in Florida. So I talked to other emergency management directors around the state, around the country, sorry, in California and New York and Alabama, and this was happening to them as well. And so I decided that we have to start talking publicly what was happening. We spoke to 3M, and at that point in time, I'm not sure they really had a good handle on what was going on. Once the White House obviously saw what was going on and looked into it, their decisive action clearly made the difference. They used the Production Act on some areas on 3M, and what that did is the net result is that 3M realized that their U.S. distributors potentially were taking advantage of the situation, whether they were marking up the price or they were selling it overseas to foreign governments who were paying two or three times, potentially even with cash. What the White House was able to get 3M to do is 3M made a commitment to bring in 55 million masks a month from Asia for the next 3 months. So, over 150 million N95 masks over the next 90 days are now coming in from Asia. And that was a dramatic difference. It allowed us the early part of this week, we got 1 million masks directly through HHS, which was part of the delivery from 3M. And as soon as those 1 million masks came in, they went right out to the front lines, to our hospitals, to the folks at the nursing homes, to our first responders, our police and fire. This is life-saving stuff, and we hope to make a difference, and it'll help stop the spread.
And so you've got the supplies that you think you need now. But today you're also doing something which is pretty cool. You're opening a walk-up testing site in South Florida designed for the underserved population. Tell people about what you're doing today.
Sure. So when the federal government offered these major testing sites, these big federal sites, which then the state took over after a period of time, the mode of transportation for getting into these sites was it was going to be these massive drive-throughs. And it was a great idea because it allowed you to test a significant amount of people in one day, and each of these sites were testing 800-900 people a day. But the governor and I soon realized that there was a portion of the population that A, doesn't have a car, B, can't sit in line for 4 hours. And so we immediately began drawing up plans, working with our county health departments to make sure that folks had access to testing. We know, obviously, through the White House, testing has been made affordable because it's free. But just because it's free doesn't mean people had access to it. And so we began drawing up plans, working with the locals. We opened the first one up today in Broward County. Another one will open up tomorrow in Broward County. And then we're looking to take these to Palm Beach County, Dade County, Hillsborough County, Duval County. And we're going to open up as many of these that are needed so that people can make an appointment via telephone. They can walk right up. They can get tested. We've seen obviously the statistics nationally in the Black community on how COVID-19 is preying on them. And so thankfully in Florida, we're not seeing those similar statistics that some of the other states are struggling with. But the only way to make sure we don't trend that way is to get ahead of it and make sure that they have access to testing.
Let me just kind of ask you a final question. I know you've got another hospital ready to open in the Miami Beach Convention Center, which is huge, in partnership with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. Final question, though, Jared, just quickly, in about 10-15 seconds, how are things looking? As the Director of Emergency Management in Florida, how are things looking?
Things are looking good. 42% of our beds at our hospitals are empty. That's a good thing. We're bringing on 900 additional beds in Dade County. We got 250 additional beds in Broward. So in the event there's some sort of reoccurrence or surge, we're ready. But we don't think that we're going to see that just because we flattened the curve.
Jared, I'm proud of you. Proud to be your friend. Jared Moskowitz, the director of the Florida Division of Emergency Management, joining us live. Coming up next in the back half of the broadcast, a special interview my dad did in studio, when you can still do that, with John Schneider. You may know him as Bo Duke from the Dukes of Hazzard. You don't want to miss it. That's coming up second half hour.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the broadcast. Well, we've got a very special guest in our studio. So if you're watching on TV or Facebook or Periscope, wherever you get your social media feed, or if you're listening to us on radio, our friend John Schneider's here. And I got to tell a story.
I'm so glad to be here.
Yeah, I am glad you're here, too. But this is a true story, folks. So when we first started this radio broadcast in 1997, I believe it was, we get a call. We were in a studio in Atlanta then, much smaller than this. Much smaller organization than we are now. And we get a call, and the screener says, the guy's saying he's John Schneider on the phone. And could that possibly be? I said, no, it's not possible. I mean, it could be possible, but not likely.
He put me through so much.
So talk about
he put me through so much. He said, okay, well, then John Schneider. What was Boss Hogg eating in the first episode of Dukes of... I said, raw liver. Of course. Let me talk to Jay. And so he asked me a couple of questions. Finally, I guess he was talking to you on the other line. And
he
then,
was.
And
they
then
were putting
I
it up on
the phone.
Screen, and I'm saying it can't be.
Yeah, and I was driving down PCH. You know, I did my time on the left coast there.
Yeah.
So I was driving down PCH, and you were talking about something on the radio, and I thought, my God, it's so great. And this was 97.
Yeah.
So they're crazier now, but they were still crazy then.
Yeah.
But it's like, thank God there's somebody out there that is actually the voice of reason.
So I've got to tell you this.
And I think that's what I told you.
You did say that, which I appreciate.
Yeah.
So this is also a true story. The gal that was in the office, I mean, it was a small, I mean, you know, you're in our media center here. It's a big office.
This was
like, you know, three people in an office. Michelle, she still works with us. And she was literally, I mean, the joke is your biggest fan. I mean, she is literally biggest fan.
She was having
a meltdown. In a good way. But anyway, so there you have it. So we've known each other. We've met each other in other times, too. But we've known each other via radio for a long time.
For a long time,
I want to talk to you. By the way, so we've got a really unique opportunity because John is not just an actor. He's also a tremendous musician, singer. And we're going to be playing upstairs in a few minutes with our band. And you're going to actually hear some of the music. So... it'll be a lot of fun, and there's a couple of original tunes that John's got.
But
one in particular.
I think
people are going to like it. We'll save it for for the surprise, but it'll be great. But I thought I'm glad you're here, and we could talk a little bit. So, give me your view, kind of state of the play right now. How you see kind of the United States, just the country. How you travel all over, obviously still acting.
Well, I tell
still
you, the one word that I don't hear people saying a lot, and I think they should, is what I see, and we go everywhere.
Right,
is opportunity.
Yeah.
I see opportunity wherever we go. I have never seen the country more, I'm not even going to say divided, because I can't figure out a way to validate the opposition's perspective.
Well, they think they're, I mean, the interesting thing about that is just coming out of the impeachment hearing a little while ago.
And thank you on behalf of all the United States citizens.
I
want to thank you for
I appreciate
everything
that. But
you did.
I will tell you what it is. They actually think it's not like they're just mouthing this.
Right.
So when you see even the debates going on right now and Bernie Sanders is talking about democratic socialism, they actually mean it. I mean, this is, they believe it.
What in the world? Do they not realize that's something you can crawl into, but you've got to shoot your way out?
Yeah. Let me ask you this. We're going to be taking a break, then we're going to come back with you. If people want to find out what you're doing, what you're up to, where's the best place to go?
JohnSchneiderStudios.com.
JohnSchneiderStudios.com. We'll link that up, too, on our Facebook page, and we'll get that out. So JohnSchneiderStudios.com. All right. So we're having a good time, which is, you know, it's nice to just have a good time on radio, and everything doesn't have to be so intense. We're having a good time. We're going to be coming
you
back.
You must
in just
be
a
relieved.
I am. We only have a minute before the break.
Okay.
Yes, except I've got three Supreme Court cases in a matter of weeks. But compared to, it's like my wife said, okay, really? Compared to what you just went through?
Yeah.
I think you can handle an hour argument. So I think, it'll be fine. I mean, we'll get to that, but you got to prepare, of course. All right, we're taking a break. We come back. We're going to have more with John Schneider. Let me tell you this also. We're having a lot of fun getting this music together, and we're going to be releasing, there'll be a video release on this, and he's got a great tune coming. You can just save it. We'll save it, but we're having fun with it. All right, we're taking a break. Don't forget, if you want to find out what's going on, JohnSchneiderStudios.com. If you want to get information about the ACLJ, you know how to do that, ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. You also got Facebook, Twitter.
Got Facebook, but the links to all that are on
Go to the website, and you can get links to everything.
I have an app called John Schneider. It'll take you everywhere. It's a stalker's best friend.
The man has an app.
I have an app.
All right, we'll be back with more John Schneider in a moment.
It's a critical time for our nation and our world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important. And during this time of uncertainty, there's no better way to support the ACLJ than through online giving. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We truly appreciate your financial support. Without it, it would be impossible to do our work here and around the globe. And the best way to support our work is to make your financial gifts online at ACLJ.org.
Online giving, simple and secure. And by making an online gift, your support goes to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to defend human life, to stand up for our good friend Israel, to work to uncover the corrupt deep state in Washington, and so much more. Make a difference today. Support the work of the ACLJ online at ACLJ.org. Every dollar makes a difference. Give today online at ACLJ.org. For 30 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has been dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of you, we've seen great success in the courts and Congress concerning the issues that matter most to you and your families. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
Our decades-long commitment to the Constitution and the rule of law is at the center of everything we do. The bottom line, our work could not take place without your generous support.
Now more than ever, during this time of uncertainty, the ACLJ needs your support. Consider making a gift online at ACLJ.org. Donating online is safe and secure, and an online gift at ACLJ.org can be put to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to continue the battle against abortion giant Planned Parenthood, to protect Christians facing persecution, and so much more. Every dollar makes a difference. Stand with the ACLJ today. Support our work online at ACLJ.org.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the broadcast. We're with our friend John Schneider. You know him from his acting career, his music, of course, the famous Dukes of Hazzard, Smallville, and countless others. You're going to see at the end of the broadcast, if you're watching us on Facebook, Periscope, any of the social media outlets, you're going to actually see the musician side of John Schneider. We went upstairs and jammed around, and we had a good time, so you're going to see that in just a moment. But I want to, we were talking about the Dukes, and we'll talk about Smallville, too, because you draw a connect. You mentioned the fact that if you go a mile down the road for our studio, it kind of is the feel of that of the Dukes of Hazzard.
It looks like Dukes of Hazzard, yeah.
So tell me about the car for a moment. The car was a Dodge Charger.
It was a 1969 Dodge Charger.
You're not going to believe this.
Uh-oh.
Yep, I didn't. It was not orange. It was in the 70s.
Yeah.
I had a 1969 Dodge Charger.
No kidding.
Yeah, it was actually my mother drove it and then went to college. She said, here. I had the Dodge Charger. I should have kept it.
You know, I tell people that.
You have one, don't you?
I do. We have two.
You have two of them.
I told people that when I first saw the General Lee and I saw Daisy's Roadrunner,
right.
I was thinking, please God, let the Roadrunner be my car. Because as far as I was concerned, the Charger was an old woman's car from, not pardon me, Mom,
no,
but it was an old lady's car
from
Dragnet.
Yeah, right.
Right, it was this big boxy thing, which made it really easy to slide around corners and things. So it was a perfect car. Had a great door, so you could get your butt on there and slide in the window. Yeah. But I do remember thinking, "Oh my gosh, this car!" But I tell you, if you go a mile from where we are now, you go back, drive to Nashville, not on 65, drive back there, it will look exactly like the Dukes of Hazzard. So the view that people have in 2020, the overwhelming majority of people in this country have the same view right now that they did when they first watched the show in 1979. And if you watch it today, the only thing old about the Dukes, and actually our cars were already old when we did it, the only thing that dates Dukes of Hazzard at all, if you live a mile from here, is the cars. But Dukes was so much fun. We started in Georgia, filming in Georgia in 78. And then we moved to California so that it could be, or they moved us to California once they realized that it was a bit of a hit, a force to be reckoned with, that they wanted to be closer to it so they could kind of micromanage it.
Yep. So we go from Dukes, which is this, you know, iconic one, and then you do another one that's iconic, which is Smallville. What year's the Smallville run?
Smallville was 2001 through 2011.
So in 2001, of course, you've got, you know, Tragedy in America.
We were filming Smallville when that happened.
Okay.
I was in Vancouver, British Columbia when that happened.
Yeah.
And my brother flies for Delta. He's flown for Delta since 78, since we started Duke. So that was my first call.
Make sure he was okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a, well, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you still can't.
So we're there, and And again, I'm Jonathan Kent. I'm raising the boy who will be Superman.
Right.
But we don't know that. And there was something about living on a dirt road, something about a windmill, something about having to walk down some dirt and gravel to get the mail.
In a similar sense to Dukes.
Very similar to Dukes. Something about having cows to milk,
right.
cows to feed, cattle, livestock, right. working, you know, work gloves. I recall when President Trump was running for president, they talked about him going to the where Cracker Barrels were.
Right.
And it made so much sense to me because
right.
that's where people who work hard go to eat.
Right.
Because, you know, Uncle Herschel's favorite, they got more food than they can
right.
eat, but my God, it's been a tough day, and yeah. I just would like somebody to bring me a cup of coffee
right.
and some biscuits and gravy.
Yeah.
And that's the crowd that, and that's what I am. That's
yeah.
the crowd that loved Smallville, and it authenticated that this child, Clark Kent, could later become Superman. It authenticated in Dukes of Hazzard that if Uncle Jesse said, don't jump that car, it'll break.
Yep.
No, he said, stop jumping that car, you're going to hurt yourself.
Right.
Because he said that, we believed, you believed,
right.
everyone believed that the General Lee could fly.
Right.
So there's something that authenticates real humanity
yeah.
about, for me, about a dirt road.
Yeah. Smallville was on for what, 7 years, 6 years?
It was on 10 years.
10 years, okay.
I was on it
yeah.
for five, and then I did the last year as well.
Yeah.
Great
yeah, you
show.
Came back at the end. Right.
Yep. The crown yeah. jewel, I think, of the Smallville, of the Superman franchise.
Yeah.
So it was a great, great, great time.
And that was through 2010.
2011.
Right, 11.
Yep, 2011. And now I do the,
right.
7 years I've been on the Haves and Have-Nots Tyler Perry show on the Oprah Winfrey Network.
Right.
Playing a nasty, terrible
You're a bad guy.
I'm a bad guy.
Which was not the
point. And I use this voice.
Yeah.
Right? So it's kind of like my Dallas. It's kind of like what Dallas must have been for Larry Hagman.
Yeah. After I Dream of Jeannie. Another iconic program.
I know. I love that.
So how does it feel as an actor, and you look at your roles that you've played, what you're known for as an actor are these hugely iconic moments in American history. I mean, these are like...
Well, bless you.
No, but it's true. It's people... Not only can relate, it's iconic today. I mean, people talk about these broadcasts, these programs
yeah.
today.
Well, I think they ring true to an audience because they ring true to me.
Huh.
I try to never do anything that I don't like singing a song.
Yep.
If a song doesn't make the hair stand up on the back of my neck or make me laugh or make me cry or
yep.
make me cheer or make me angry, I won't have anything to do with
yeah.
it. So if a role doesn't ring true somewhere in me,
yep.
then I won't be interested. I won't do it. But, you know, there's a lot of all of us. I equate, people say actors, it's such an interesting thing. Well, we're all kind of a color wheel.
Yeah.
And we have a dominant color, naturally.
Right. Right.
But actors have the, and I think lawyers,
yep.
have the ability to select what that dominant color is.
Yeah.
We have all of it. But we select that and that for whatever time.
Can you turn on in that acting, you could put up a different color depending on the broadcast?
Oh, absolutely.
See, that's what, you made the analysis to lawyers. I think that's, you know, there's the, and I said this to in interviews, there's going to be the, I had the Jay Sekulow handling Bob Mueller moment,
right.
which is different kind of lawyering in a sense.
Sure.
Then I had the impeachment proceedings, which was a trial. So you had
right.
the trial side.
The trial color, yeah.
And then I've got the Supreme Court stuff, which is completely different.
Well, and then you've got whatever, you know, like a pendulum will eventually
yeah.
stop in
yeah.
the middle. So your dominant color will eventually
yeah.
just kind of show up when you're
yeah.
hanging around,
yeah, yeah.
you're playing golf, you're
yeah.
with people you love,
yeah.
right?
Right.
So that's your dominant
yep.
color. Most people are one dominant color.
Yep.
Well, this sounds kind of California.
Yeah.
I hate,
no.
but you get
yeah,
it, right?
Yeah. right? Yeah.
So what actors and lawyers and people, we can dial in that dominant color as needed.
Right.
And then we'll go back to, and it's not lying, by the way.
Right.
People say, well, that's lying.
No,
you
got
it's not.
You got multiple
yeah,
arrows in the quiver.
It's just a different shade
yeah.
because it's needed right now.
Yeah.
And I think that is the gift of lawyering. That's the gift of logic. That's the gift of acting or telling a story.
If you're just joining us, our guest is John Schneider, who, by the way, in addition to being a great actor, is a great musician, a great singer. Let's talk about your music. You got a tune that's out now.
Yes.
Called Trump Card.
My friend Keith Burns and I were talking about the lunacy that we were witnessing and how people can't, how can you not understand, Nancy, how silly this looks. And there's an old saying in a poker game that if you can't find the sucker at the table, it's you.
Yeah.
So that's how we started writing.
That was from John Schneider, by the way. I want to be very. I'm keeping it in though. Go ahead.
Well, you know, and it's true. So we wrote this song with another gentleman who his name escapes me. We wrote it texting.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like, oh, this is great. This is great. This is great. Because we Alicia and I travel so much.
Yeah.
But so we wrote this song about a poker game where the other side was so sure that they were going to win that they couldn't comprehend that I had the winning hand. Because I've got my trump card.
Uh-huh.
You can keep that ace there up your sleeve.
Right.
Because when I'm holding back a hand like this, it's all I'll ever need. I've got my trump card.
Yeah.
I don't need an ace in the hole because I'm holding on to something good as gold. I got my trump card.
Yeah.
And
I know somebody that may like the tune. Just saying.
You know, I knew our president a long, long time ago when I was doing Broadway.
Right.
And it's I was so delighted when it looked like he was going to run, because I knew if he ran, because I hang around with practical people.
Yeah.
I hang around with some people that aren't that practical, too, and the difference between me and them is I don't hate them.
Mm-hmm.
So when he was running, I told my brother, who was the mayor of Stamford, New York, I mean, and he and I feel exactly the same.
Yeah.
I said, he's going to win. He said, I think that would be great, but I mean, there's there's not a chance. And I said, don't listen to your friends. Listen to the people. He is going to win. You mark my words.
Well, you were right.
So I'm delighted. So the Trump card song is our way of trying to add a little bit of levity.
Yes, which is desperately needed.
If you can't laugh at yourself.
Yeah, right.
You know, and if there's anyone that should have learned by now.
Yeah.
How to laugh at themselves. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Jay.
No,
but,
I get it.
But not really.
No. Hey, let me ask you this. So is the song is available where?
Song is available on at John Schneider's. Well, everywhere music is. You can go to Spotify, go to iTunes.
Everywhere.
You can get the record it comes from at johnschneiderstudios.com.
So full album.
Yep, there will be a full, but they're downloads now.
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah,
I know
so you
that.
Can download. And please
familiar.
Do. If you, please download the music when you just take the music,
yeah,
then
the
writers don't really ever get paid.
No, so here's what we'd like you to do. We're going to give you, you're going to see it, us performing it with, John performing it with our band, but if you want the real recording of it, which we encourage you to get, let me tell you this, everybody that's listening on radio around the country, this is a great tune, great album, by the way, so go to iTunes, wherever you get your music. What do they look for? Just
John Schneider's Trump card.
Okay, I want to talk more. We're going to go one more segment. Okay, so we're going to take a break. We come back more with our friend John Schneider. Stay
for
tuned.
30 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has been dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of you, we've seen great success in the courts and Congress concerning the issues that matter most to you and your families. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
Our decades-long commitment to the Constitution and the rule of law is at the center of everything we do. The bottom line, our work could not take place without your generous support.
Now more than ever, during this time of uncertainty, the ACLJ needs your support. Consider making a gift online at aclj.org. Donating online is safe and secure, and an online gift at aclj.org can be put to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to continue the battle against abortion giant Planned Parenthood, to protect Christians facing persecution, and so much more. Every dollar makes a difference. Stand with the ACLJ today. Support our work online at aclj.org. It's a critical time for our nation and our world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important. And during this time of uncertainty, there's no better way to support the ACLJ than through online giving. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We truly appreciate your financial support. Without it, it would be impossible to do our work here and around the globe. And the best way to support our work is to make your financial gifts online at aclj.org.
Online giving, simple and secure. And by making an online gift, your support goes to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to defend human life, to stand up for our good friend Israel, to work to uncover the corrupt deep state in Washington, and so much more. Make a difference today. Support the work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. Every dollar makes a difference. Give today, online, at aclj.org.
So we're with our good friend John Schneider. We're talking about politics. We're talking about life. I want to talk to you about in the environment that you work in, music, actor,
right? Yeah,
the arts.
Yeah,
it's the divide. I mean, you're in the minority within your profession, although there's a vocal minority within your profession.
Well, you know, I've always believed that if you didn't believe something enough to say it publicly, then you probably didn't believe it very much. And I'm not sure why my fellow actors have it's really actors, I think, more than musicians. Musicians have a tendency to be more outspoken and more honest about their belief system. Yeah. But the actor types, I don't know why. It's almost like the old studio system where an actor was really basically bought
by the
studio. Was afraid, or was actually not even afraid. We used to have a thing called a morals clause. Mm-hmm. And a morals clause from CBS, ABC, NBC, whoever had that in their contract, they could really, it was very loosely defined. So whatever they felt was against their morals clause that was not written out, it was that's all it was, the morals clause, then they had reason to dismiss you. And that was as early as when I started Dukes in 78, I had a morals clause in there. I'm not sure when standards and practices and all that went away, but they're still acting as if I don't ride this horse publicly, then I'm going to lose my who said it? I can't remember. I'm going to lose my cinchy job.
Yeah. The problem is, I mean, I saw this firsthand. I mean, I got during the impeachment hearing, I got a lot of great emails. I have to say, a lot of people were praying for us. A lot of people were great. I got some. So if you wouldn't, I just hit delete, delete.
I've got haters now on my YouTube channel that I never really had haters before.
Yeah.
You know, people love Dukes. They love Smallville. It's like, oh, this is really great.
Welcome to the club.
Yeah, and all of a sudden, these especially on YouTube, my YouTube channel is doing great.
Yep.
Kid Rock told me, he said, you keep saying your truth to your people. He said, yes, you're going to aggravate more people every day than you'll ever get to meet. But at the same time, you will be strengthening your core audience.
That's true.
If you continue to tell the truth.
So
your truth.
When the impeachment trial was going on, and it was, you know, it was a two.
I love that you can laugh about it.
Well, you have to laugh at it now. It's over. So 2 weeks of this. So Logan kept saying, when I get back, and we get back late, I mean, it'd be like 1 o'clock in the morning, don't look at your Twitter feed. Do not look at Twitter. I said, that bad? He just said, do not look at Twitter. I will admit, one time I did, it was like you opened it up, and it was like, you know, the horror movie. Bah! Want to put it back in again.
Well, you know, they say if you don't have any opposition, then you're not a good player.
You know,
if you're not double-teamed, you're probably not
Winston
a good player.
Winston Churchill said, people are speaking bad about you. He said, good. That means you're standing up for something.
There you go.
But I want to talk about, I mean, I think from our generation and to this day, the Dukes was huge. Is it true that they shot the opening of that in Oxford, Georgia?
At the college.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
Emory
where the first jump was. Yeah.
Okay, so
Emory in Oxford.
My sister calls me yesterday because she knows you're coming on. And she goes, you know, I was at Emory at the Oxford campus when they shot it.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
That was 1978, November.
Yep. Yeah,
November
yeah.
So 1978. Yeah.
There you go.
I remember it well. That was the first time.
Did you have any idea that it would become this iconic program when you first...
Say, I was 18 years old. I didn't know there was such thing as a failed television show.
Right.
And Smokey and the Bandit had just taken over the world,
a
$2 million movie that made $269 million before VHS.
Good return on investment.
Right? Good return on investment. And it was made, I was in it, kind of.
Yep.
I lied and climbed in there. And that's in my book. It's called My Life, My Way. You want to know about that? Read that.
Okay.
But trucks and fast cars and all that seemed to me like Dukes of Hazzard should be the number one show in the country. And within about 3 weeks, it was.
It was that quick?
It was right. We were top 20 the first night we were
on. I remember the TV guide.
Oh.
You don't have to date yourself, but it's okay. And they said, the hot show out of, you know, this is the hot show.
Yes, but before there was Twitter and any of this kind of stuff, there was a reviewer in California, because Waylon would say at the first commercial break, Dukes of Hazzard will continue.
Right.
And this guy grabbed a hold of that, and he said, if this show continues, I will take the executive producer to dinner anywhere he wants. This is the worst thing I've ever seen on television. So it continued. The executive producer called him and wound up, he had to take him to Paul Picard's favorite restaurant in Paris.
Oh, there you go. That's
and he
good.
Did it, to his credit.
He did?
He
okay.
did it.
I mean, I lived in New York. I moved to Atlanta when I was almost 16 years old. So I watched the show, I think I was already in college, and it connected to me, and I was not, you know, from Hazard County.
I think, yeah, me, I'm from Mount Kisco,
yeah,
which, you know.
I was from Brooklyn. So,
oh, oh
right.
wow.
Okay.
Yeah, that's yeah. A little bit bigger yeah. small town. Yeah. I'm from a village, the yeah. village of Mount Kisco. Yeah. I think it had to do with our moral code and our, yep. our the fact that everybody needed everybody. We
yeah.
had a great sense of community.
Yes. All right, so Facebook and Periscope and wherever else you're watching us right now, we're going to go to the tune, John Schneider's song, Trump Card. They played with the band. But what I want to encourage you to do is buy the song. And all you have to do is go over to anywhere you get your music, Amazon, iTunes, Spotify, whatever it might be, or just go to John's website at johnschneiderstudios.com, download the music, purchase the music. It's a great tune. Take a listen.
We were playing high-stakes poker, everything on the line. I put her on kings, him on queens, I was showing a pair of nines.
They were counting on the cards they held, couldn't comprehend. Oh, they were playing silly games, I had the winning hand.
Got my trump card, you can keep that ace hair up your sleeve. When I'm holding down a hand like this, it's all I'll ever need.
I got my trump card. Yes, sir.
So the dealer burned him one last card, laid that river down. The room got deathly quiet. You couldn't hear a sound.
They thought that I was bluffing, and no way that I could win. They should have seen their faces
when I yelled, "Hell!" I got my trump card. You can keep that ace hair up your sleeve. When I'm holding down a hand like this, it's all I'll ever need. I got my trump card. I don't need an ace in the hole, 'cause I'm holding on to something good as gold. I got my trump card.
There up your sleeve.
When I'm holding down a hand like this, it's all I'll ever need.
Got my trump card. I don't need an ace in the hole,
'cause I'm holding on to something good as gold. I got my trump card.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.